Welcome to One Life Church. It's good to be here. I almost didn't make it. There was this huge rainstorm. I don't know if you saw it. It's actually here today. It was in Dallas yesterday, and it was touch and go there for a while, but y'all get a lot of rain here, don't you? Anyway, it's good to be here, and we miss Pastor Josh, but let's just prove to him that we can have church and do a good job and behave without him being here. And I thought Brandon did an excellent job. What a great staff you have here. I just am impressed with this church as a member of the board. I get to see kind of things from the other side, and I have to say that the church is they're just meticulous in every area of finances and all the legal aspects of being a 501c3 organization. There's just no better ministry that I know of than this one. And so you're in good hands and good shape, and we just appreciate what you do for us. And you are a partner with us, with our ministry, and I appreciate the gifts that you give when I come, and also as you help partner monthly as a church. And I can't do it without people like you, and we're reaching more people than we ever have before on our TV and our social media and our website. In fact, I checked my website, and you know, I've never been that much into numbers because I've gone to so many small churches and so many small places in my life, but I checked my website, and over a 3-month period we had visitors to the website from all 50 states and 100 countries. So that was encouraging to me that people are actually coming. And if you go to my website, there's a whole lot of free stuff. There's stuff in print, audio, and video. So I believe they're getting some good material. And I'd like to do this. I went to camp last year, and one of the things I discovered at your youth camp is I'm too old to go to youth camp. How many of you in this room are too old to go to youth camp? You already know it. You're not trying to pretend, you know. You know, I have a problem with people who say, you know, they're in their 50s or 60s and they say they're 39 again. Like, do you realize what you're doing to the 38-year-olds? They're going like, really? You mean in 1 year? Anyway, here's what I'd like to do. There was I don't know how many kids, hundreds? Couple hundred, 150, and they were on fire. And I understand the fire continued when they got home. And so I want to help. I want to partner with you. I want to give $1,000 toward youth camp. And I would encourage you to do the same, because it's a life changing experience. And churches are not doing things like that as much. And we owe it to our kids. They'll have an encounter with God that they'll never get over. Amen. And just make your kids go, kidnap them. No, you can't do that. But you know what I'm saying. Make them go to youth camp, because they'll have an experience with God. And no matter what happens in their life, they can always look back and say, I know there's a God because of what happened to me there in youth camp. So we want to send that to you. I might have to do it in installments. No, I'm kidding. But we'll do that, and I believe others will join, and that need will be met. Because it is a burden on a family if they have two or three kids to charge them $300 a piece. But we can make up the difference. How many of you believe we could do that? So I want to talk to you. I do a lot of things now through social media, and I have a TV program. We actually went on in Florida on broadcast TV for the last year, and our outreach is growing there. And then there are plans to increase the network that I'm on the internet many, many times over. And so I've been learning and creating content constantly, studying and doing new stuff. And I just completed a series last week that I want to share with you here. And if you're interested in this, we don't even have it together yet. It'll be out in the next couple of weeks. But I'm going to call it Finding a Good God in an Evil World. How many of you believe you can find God? And one of the things about God is, yes, he's hidden, he's invisible, but he's not unreachable. He's not hidden from us, he's actually hidden for us. And so this series, and I'm just going to hit the high spots here today, or I could do the whole thing. It'll just take us 4 or 5 hours, so we can vote on that later. But this series is designed to give people who are honest, they honestly want to know. They weren't raised, you know, even when I was a youth pastor 30 years ago, we were dealing with kids who didn't grow up in church. Their parents didn't grow up in church. Now we've got kids whose parents, and their parents didn't grow up in church. And so they are completely cut off from a religious, any kind of theology or understanding of God. And I believe we owe it to people that honestly want to know, is there evidence that there's a God? Or do I have to just believe that because you said so and you're a preacher? I want to give people enough evidence. You're never going to convince the skeptics that choose to reject God no matter what, and that's not my audience. But those that are honestly looking for a reason to believe in God, and I believe that group is going to grow exponentially. How many of you have noticed the world's getting a lot worse? And I believe people who weren't interested in the things of God are going to be interested because they're going to be scared to death. They're going to be frightened. They're going to be concerned. They're going to look at things and go, you know what? This isn't working. How many of you know there are things in our world today that are not working? And people are going to find that out. And when they do, I want them to have a reason to believe in God. And because that's the first step. Did you know you can't even come to God unless, first of all, you believe that He is? So when our children are told in school, In the lowest grades of school, there is no God. Evolution is responsible for everything. They're not even going to look for God. You can't find God if you don't believe that He is. And so I just want to go on the record saying today, there's a God. There is a God. And I want to start with Genesis 1:1. And so we're going to look at this, and I'm going to just talk for a little while, and I believe it's going to help you, encourage you, strengthen your stand. And starting with Genesis 1:1, where it says, and this has become one of my favorite scriptures, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God didn't waste any time in telling us how everything got here. Aren't you glad that God's just up front about that? You don't have to search the scriptures and spend months digging and looking up Greek words and Hebrew words. God just said it right up front. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I've been looking at this and studying this and looking at different opinions and research on this. And I'm just going to tell you this. That one verse makes more sense than anything that the atheists have been saying for the last 150 years since Darwin. Are you with me? That one verse makes more sense than anything they've come up with. Now, I am not anti-science and I'm not anti-scientist. I love science. I love the fact that they produced the air conditioner. How many of you love that? I love that they discovered electricity. I love the modern conveniences, and I love the fact that we went to the moon and we can orbit the earth. I love science, so I'm in no way coming against science. But what I've found in my research is that science does not contradict the Bible, and the Bible does not contradict science. The Bible contradicts atheism. And that's where we as Christians have to draw the line. Our God put these laws of science into motion. Our God put this universe into motion. Our God created everything out of nothing. He is responsible for everything around you, and He's responsible for you and your life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't be intimidated to say that. Don't be fearful to believe that. That makes more sense than anything else out there. In fact, if I had really put my mind to it, I think that I could have come up with a better explanation. If you're just going to make something up, then what they're saying about evolution. They're literally saying that nothing created everything for no reason. Really? Really? Okay. That's a stretch, folks. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth makes a whole lot more sense than that. And it actually can agree with and fit into the laws of science that we've discovered since that time. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, so let me give you this introduction, because I spent a long time putting this together and I want to just read it to you word for word. Science and education are not an excuse to reject the existence of God. There's more than enough proof that God is real for those who choose to take an honest look. We examine in this series the abundance of evidence from inside the Bible and beyond in the areas of science, space, and nature, which point to God's existence, and then we'll provide you with specific instructions on how to seek God and exactly what to do when you find Him. How many of you believe there could be a market for a message like this? Non-confrontational. We're not condemning anyone or preaching down to anyone, but for anyone out there that wants to meet God, you can meet Him. You can meet God. I was looking for a house years ago and saw it on Zillow, so I didn't take a realtor. I just went. You know you can do that? It's called trespassing, but you can do it. So I just went over to this house, and it happened to be vacant, and I started walking around the house. Well, the neighbor saw me, so he came out, and I told him what I was doing. I'm not trying to steal anything. I'm just looking. We may want to buy a house. We like this neighborhood. So he took an interest in me, and he showed me around the house. And as he was doing that, he was actually vetting me. He started asking intrusive questions like, "So what do you do?" And I'm like, "None of your business. Just looking at a house." I don't like to tell people I'm a preacher if I can help it, because it gets awkward. I've found in my experience that if you tell them you're a preacher, one of two things happen. Either they start cursing to prove to you that you don't intimidate them, or they'll quote scripture. And usually they misquote it, you know, like, "Well, the good Lord said." No, He didn't, you know. "God helps those who help themselves." No, that's really not what He said. But whatever, I'm not here to have a theological. So I try not to. But I thought, well, I might buy the house. I might as well tell him. So I said, "I'm a preacher." And he goes, "Oh." Like that, just like that. And I thought, was that a good O or was it a bad? I couldn't tell. It was a real neutral. And so we went ahead and did our tour. And at the end, he said, I guess I passed, because he said, "Well, I hope you get the house." I said, "Well, I'd like to have the house. I like it, and I like this neighbor." We didn't buy it eventually. But I said, "I'd like to have it, as long as you don't mind living next to a preacher." He said, "Oh, no, I don't mind living next to a preacher, as long as you don't mind living next to an atheist." And he must have seen the shock on my face, because he said, "Yes, I'm a scientist. Therefore, I'm an atheist." And I thought, what? I'd never met an atheist. I thought they just existed in zoos and things. I didn't think you could actually talk to one on the street. They let him go. It's the Bible Belt, Tulsa. And here's this atheist. And I was speechless. I really was speechless. I got in my car and to drive away, and I'm thinking, this guy doesn't believe in God. I mean, that's like saying there's no sun in the sky, or, you know, there's no moon. And I'm driving away thinking, he's a scientist. That poor guy, he's bound and trapped in his education, and he has no choice. He has to be an atheist because he's a scientist. I thought, that's sad. I'm glad I didn't have that much education. Nobody educated God out of my thinking. And then it bothered me. So I went home, and I mean, I don't know anything. I wanted to go to college. Believe me, I was on the college track, and the Lord told me to go to Bible school. And I've reminded of Him that many times since. This is it. You know, I had a lady one time who wanted me to take voice lessons. She was going to pay for it. She says, "Your voice," she says, "I try to listen to you, and I can't. Your voice is an entire octave too high." She says, "I will pay if you'll take voice lessons." And I thought, lady, I need grammar lessons. I mean, I need a lot of help, and that's probably not even on the top 10. And then I prayed about going back to college. I said, "Lord, I'm still in my 20s. I could still do it. ORU's just right here. I can go to, please let me go to college." And He gave me a scripture. And the scriptures in Acts, I've never forgotten it. It says, when they realized that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were ignorant and unlearned men, he said, how do you think they realized that? They probably spoke an octave too high and they didn't have good grammar. He said, I don't want you to go to college. Other people can go to college and God gets glory out of that. He said, I don't want you to. So I never got God educated out of my life. I've been more simple-minded than that. I just believe the Bible. But some people look deeper. They want to look wider. Did you know there's evidence for God everywhere you look? He didn't leave himself without a witness. He didn't say, now, this is only for dumb people. It's only for the ignorant and the unlearned. That's not what this means. Did you know that science and education is not an excuse to deny the existence of God? In fact, the more you see, the more you should believe there's a God. His fingerprints are on everything he did. And I'm going to jump ahead here, but I can't help myself. If they would apply forensic science to creation, they would know there's a God. I mean, think about how ridiculous it would be if someone came upon a crime scene and the detectives with their notepads are looking at the scene and they see all of the evidence and they go, you know what, we've determined that no one did this. So, well, are you going to catch this criminal? There isn't one. It just happened. Things came together, there was a chemical reaction, and it just happened, and there's just no criminal. That's not what they do. They go, this guy was probably, how come all the criminals are these white, middle-aged, like they're describing me. I'm like, I didn't do it. He's right-handed, and he probably lives in this area, and it's like, wait a minute. But they come up with all these ideas and this profile based on evidence, and then they start looking for the criminal. You can't have a crime without a criminal. That's deep, I know. See, I told you I didn't go to college. I can't. You can't have crime without a criminal. How ridiculous would it be for you to go into someone's house and look at a piece of art on the wall and say, who did that? That's beautiful. Where'd you get that? Oh, no, no one did that. It just happened. You notice there's no signature. It's just a freak of nature. Out of nowhere, there was this big, let's call it a bang, big bang. And then there was this picture, and I hung it on the wall. Isn't it beautiful? No, you wouldn't even, you would think somebody's stupid to say that. And they would be. If you can't have art without an artist. You can't have crime without a criminal. And can I just say this at the risk of sounding naive and uneducated? You can't have a creation without a creator. Can't. It's impossible. So, I went home from the atheist meeting and I thought I would love to meet him again. I would love to sit down with him, and I've never had the chance. But I looked up the word science. Because I thought, well, if he's a scientist and he can't believe in God, why? So the word science means this. I didn't go to college, but I can read. So I'm going to read this to you. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it's knowledge about or study of the world. How many of you are with me? Based on facts, learned through experiments and observation. Those are very important words. Experiments, observations. They come to conclusions. Are you with me? I want to sit down with my scientist friend. I want to ask him, what experiments have you done to create something out of nothing? Name one. What accident have you documented that created something out of nothing? Number two, were you there in the beginning? In fact, just take me there if you would, because I could take you there and give you my version, but I want to hear your version. All right? So there's nothing. Go ahead. Start. Are you with me now? There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Time, space, matter does not exist. Go. Well, there was billions and billions of years of evolution. No. Before that. They think if they put enough billions of years in between, anything could happen. Wrong. Go ahead, Mr. Scientist. Start. There's nothing. Well, there was some kind of accidental explosion that occurred, the Big Bang, and it created matter, and the universe is expanding in all directions at the speed of light right now. Really? What caused this explosion that created such precision, beauty, and wealth? What did this? Nothing. It just happened. Really? And I'm the idiot. I'm the uneducated, weak-kneed, religious person that leans on religion as a crutch and believes myths and legends. And you're telling me that nothing created everything. So here's the difference. Here's my version. It's real simple. I didn't even have to read past the first page of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't ever be ashamed to say that. Don't ever be ashamed to believe that. Don't ever be ashamed to tell people you believe that, because that makes more sense than anything. I searched and read and studied, and I tried to find something that made sense. They got two problems. Where did matter come from? And once you have this material universe, how did the first living cells come into being? How do you go from non-matter to living cells without help? My version's in the Bible. He brought forth every living creature, and they produced according to their kind. He brought forth the plants, and they produced, and he put seeds within them, and they produced according to their kind. How many of you know that makes sense? So no one was there to observe creation. And no one can reproduce it in a laboratory. Therefore, whatever they're saying about what happened in the beginning is called faith, not science. Amen. That's where I come in. Oh, we're talking about faith now. Okay, now I can speak. You deal with science. I get it. And there's a lot of science out there, a lot of things to study and discover and whatever. But when you leave observation and experimentation, you're talking about faith. Now, I don't talk about science, and I don't think you ought to be talking about faith, because they're doing our world a disservice by telling our children there is no God. Just say you don't know. You hadn't found him. How many of you know how dangerous that is? Just tell them you don't know. We don't care if you don't know. Don't make something up. Don't fill in the blanks with some. Don't give evolution credit for what God did. Don't give Mother Nature credit for what God did. Don't try to tell us that God didn't do it when you don't know. Just tell us you don't know. But if you're going to talk about faith, I got a whole book full of faith, and every scripture I've ever put any faith in has changed my life for the better. That's proof right there that there's a God and that the Bible's true. What did believing there is no God ever do for anyone? I believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I live for God. I believe in God. I give credit to God. I worship God. I seek God. I live for God, and I'll die for God. And they say just the opposite. In the beginning, nothing created everything. They live for nothing. They seek nothing. They believe in nothing. They'll search for nothing, and they'll die for nothing. They have no meaning in their life. And when you look at it like that, even if there wasn't a God, it would be better for you and I to believe in one rather than to believe in nothing. But can I tell you, there is a God, and he is real, and he's findable. And he's the greatest discovery you ever make in your life. Let me read a little bit of science, because I looked it up. I was with your pastor a few years ago, and I was telling him some of these things about meeting this atheist, and I said, man, these people have more faith in nothing than some Christians have in God. And as I shared with him, he said, you need to read this book. He said, it's called, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And so I got the book, and it's huge. It's written by two scientists, not one, two. And Brandon read it twice. That's what a nerd he is. I only read it once. It's like 400 pages, isn't it? And so it took me a couple of years to read it. I read it slow. And I took all the facts and things because it confirmed by the experts things that I knew inside. I knew sort of, you know, just common sense will tell you some of this. And so one of the things they said was this, about the origin of the universe. And this is important. Something cannot come from nothing. To do so would contradict the known scientific laws. So scientists have discovered laws. And one of them is the first law of thermodynamics. And that is matter and energy can neither be created nor destroyed. In other words, what's here is here. You can't make any more of it or it changes form, but it's here. So in order to create this universe with this Big Bang, it represents the instantaneous suspension of physical laws. That means something outside this realm caused this realm to come into being. It couldn't produce itself. They say it is an accidental big explosion for no reason out of nowhere. I say it was God. The Bible says it was God. They had a real problem when they finally discovered that the universe is not eternal. So how could that be a problem? Because if it's not eternal, it had to have a beginning. If it was eternal, they could say it was always here. I mean, it's just, that's how it is. But they've discovered through their experiments and laws of science, one of them is uranium. Over time, uranium turns into lead. If the universe was eternal, there wouldn't be any uranium. It would have already turned into lead. And so there are many things like that that they've looked at, and they've discovered that the universe is actually winding down. It's not winding up. It's winding down like a big clock. Well, if it's winding down, it had to be wound up. Someone or something wound it up. They said it was an accident. I say it's God. Isn't that good? They say it was a chance accident. I'm not a scientist, but I've had accidents. A lot of accidents. I never had anything good. Very seldom does anything good come out of an accident. Sometimes something may happen that's positive, but I've never had a universe result out of an accident. Have you? Never had anything as orderly and precise and beautiful and big as the universe itself happen in my life accidentally. In fact, you have to work really hard to make good things happen. Anybody getting this? The second law of thermodynamics is called the law of increasing entropy, which is what I just said. Every ordered system over time becomes more disordered. Things do not become more complex. This flies in the face of what they call evolution. Things are evolving upward. Things don't do that. They evolve downward. I ask my wife all the time, do you think that bed made itself? Now, I don't know how it gets made, but I do know this. It doesn't make itself, because a bed is going to get worse. And go to a college dorm, any college dorm. The rooms get worse and worse and worse until something comes in and winds it back up again. How many of you are with me? The things they're wanting us to believe don't even agree with the laws of science that they know exists. The Bible does not contradict science. The Bible contradicts evolution. Louis Pasteur, who was a scientist who discovered pasteurization, he did another experiment also, but he said this. He said, a little science estranges men from God, but much science leads them back to him. Praise God. And that was my point, was these scientists know more about the intricacies, whether it's microbiology or astronomy, they know more about the wonders of this planet and this universe than I do. They ought to be the first ones saying, this is amazing. Something made a masterpiece here. It's hard to see that when you're just trying to survive and you go to work every day and you're just trying to pay the bills. But these guys spend their life looking into the creation of God. They ought to be the first ones to say, there is something higher than this, something more complex than what we can see that's responsible for this wonderful place we live. But they're biased. They've bought in to the spirit of Antichrist. They've refused to retain God in their knowledge, and that is a dangerous path. I believe, and I'm going to show you this, I believe what we're facing as a society today is the result of them taking God out of the schools, out of the public thought, out of the public consciousness. And when you remove God, evil comes in. You know that the evil is simply the absence of God, just like darkness is the absence of light. When you remove light, you automatically have darkness. You remove God, and you're going to have evil. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, I could give you so many of these. But let me just say this. There's a PhD named Jerry Bergman. I got this out of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And he's composed a list of almost 3,000 scientists and professors who reject evolution, most of whom hold PhDs in science. He believes that given time and resources, he could easily complete a list of 10,000 names of scientists who believe in God. So you don't have to be an atheist to be a scientist. Isn't that good news? They're choosing to be that. They're choosing the anti-God stand for reasons I don't quite understand. I always gave them the benefit of the doubt. I was telling Brandon, I always thought, you know, these poor scientists, they can't help it. That they've seen too much to believe in God. But just the opposite is true. It's not that they can't. It's that they refuse to do it. Another, Dr. Francis Collins, director of the Human Genome Project, estimates 40% of working scientists claim to be believers. So I resent the fact that our young people go to college and they have to sit in those classrooms and be ridiculed and humiliated and intimidated because they happen to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That professor's not God. And 40% of the scientists out there believe in a higher power. You're not an idiot if you choose to believe the Bible. Man, there's one Harvard biologist who was an atheist. Stephen Jay Gould described humans as a glorious accident. How does that make you feel? You're a glorious accident of evolution, which required 60 trillion contingent events. Wow, we barely made it. 60 trillion. I got to find this quote and then I'm going to move on. Francis Crick, co-discoverer of DNA, and DNA was an incredible breakthrough. That's in every cell. One of the things they said about DNA was what they're saying, what they want us to believe, is that there was no living cells anywhere. And somehow in some pond somewhere in the primordial soup, a living cell, a simple cell, was spontaneously generated for no apparent reason. And when they discovered DNA, they discovered that the DNA in an amoeba, which is where they think we all started, wouldn't that be something? That your distant cousin was an amoeba? How did that make you feel? Man, you're lucky you survived. But they're saying the DNA in an amoeba is equivalent. It's DNA is chemical language that determines what you are, and it's in everybody's cells. So the DNA in an amoeba is enough information to fill 1,000 sets of encyclopedias. And so they look at this. This guy was the co-discoverer of DNA, and here's what he said: biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. Oh, really? So even he's saying, I'm tempted to believe somebody did this. Oh, is that right? But I resist that temptation. Why? Because I'm a scientist. I'm too smart for that. You know, you can be too smart for your own good. That's it. Better just to say, I don't know who did it, but I'm going to try to find him. Because, and that's the whole point, folks. You know, it's not just a difference of opinion. It's a worldview that has devastating consequences. When you admit there is a God, what you're saying is, I didn't make myself. Somebody, something's responsible for life, which is amazing. Life is, and so whoever that is, you owe them everything. And they're afraid of what that may mean. If I really believe in God, then I owe him everything. And if I find him, I don't know what he's going to require of me. Well, can I just fill you in? He wants to bless you, forgive you, heal you, change your life, and take you to heaven to live with him forever so he can share his wealth with you. That's the best kept secret in the world. Why aren't people telling that one? Why aren't people making that public? They're running from the very thing that they should be running to. I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I have to admit, I didn't go to college. I was a little intimidated, but reading these things and just following common sense, I can't be quiet anymore. I don't want my generation to die and to leave this life without hearing from someone that there is a God in heaven, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And to believe anything else is foolish and it's destructive. I've got to go on, but let me read this. This is Isaiah 29. I just found this like last week. Isaiah 29, 15. It says, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? Who knows us? Verse 16, this is God speaking. He said, surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Shall the thing made say to him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? That is the height of pride and ignorance. God made you. He's more complex than anything we'll ever know or see in this world, in this universe. And he created you. And for you to say, he didn't make me, there is no God, is pride. So here's my statement. Scientists, if they want my opinion, advice, but they don't, they should quit guessing about the creation of the universe. And they should call it faith or a theory, or better yet, just say, we don't know. Their explanation, an accidental Big Bang followed by evolution directed by chance, contradicts the laws of science which they've discovered and is a bigger leap of faith than my belief in God. I was watching a program in Africa. I was in Africa, and there wasn't much to watch. And I turned the TV on. It was this BBC scientist. And the scientist was trying to explain the origin of life. Like I said, you can give them the whole universe of non-living matter and say, okay, now, bring us to where we are today. And they'll have to say, well, so this scientist said, we're not sure where life came from. It could have come from a crack deep in the sea floor, deep down close to the earth, you know, deep in the earth's crust, where these cracks form and this mineral water comes up out of the earth, rich in minerals, and that cell, that living cell, could have come up through there and fed on those rich minerals until it was able to evolve. And I'm thinking, you know, if there's one place, you can go all over the world and find living things. Except, the further deep you go, the less living things there are. That's the one place on earth where nothing is alive. Deep, deep in the earth's crust. And yet they want us to believe, for whatever reason, some living cell, you know, and haven't had them since. That was a lucky day. And then this scientist said, or there are those who think that an asteroid could have come from outer space and it had living cells inside of it. And when it hit the Earth's surface, it burst open, the living cells came out, and they found a habitable environment, and they began to grow and produce and evolve into what we see today. And I'm thinking, okay, so where did they come from? How did they become living cells on the other planet? And then, and this is what's, and this was years ago, but I mean, this is still going on today. Then the interviewer got real serious and leaned across the desk and said, "What about aliens?" And the scientist leaned across the desk and said, in a real serious tone, "We can't take that off the table." And that was all I could stand. I stood up and yelled at the TV, "Well, you took God off the table! You just took God completely off the table, and you're going to leave aliens on the table? What kind of proof do you have that there's aliens? How much proof is there? That none!" And I've heard them say it. They go on the record and they'll say, "They're out there. We just haven't found them yet." And I'm the idiot, because I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Do you have an alien spacecraft? No. You have an alien fossil? No. You have an alien fingerprint? No. You just got a bunch of people said, "I've seen that light up in there. And he just came right across. Must be an alien from another planet." Really? And how much science did they put into that? No. They're selective in their believing. They believe in aliens because there's no proof, there's no observation or experimentation, and they believe in the evolution and that there is no God, and yet there's no experimentation, observation. Neither one of those things is science. That's faith. And let me just say, if you want to believe in aliens, I have no problem with that. That's fine with me. I don't care. I'm just not going to waste my time, because I haven't seen how believing in aliens would make my life any better. Can you say amen? I've heard the people on the radio that believe in them, and I can't tell that it's helped their life. In fact, it seems to have created problems for these folks. For one thing, they're up at 2 in the morning on the radio. That's an issue. Evidently, you can't sleep when you believe in aliens. but the point is, I've exercised a little bit of faith in the Word of God, and I've been amazed at what that'll do for your life. Nobody has to tell me the Bible's true. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Well, I do want to make this point, and then I'm going to close. And this was part of my series. If you want the series, it'll be out in a couple of weeks. It's called Finding a Good God in an Evil World. But one of the messages that I do is called The Invisible God. And I've often wondered, why is God so invisible? Have you ever thought about that? Why is God invisible? You know how easy my job would be if God would just appear? Do you realize how hard it is? I've spent 30 years traveling telling people about an invisible God. I can't show them God. They can't, like, shake his hand. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I said, "Now, folks, at the end of the service, Jesus is going to be standing right here. You can come and meet him, ask him questions, give your life to him, and I'll just be over here if you need me." Doesn't happen. He's invisible. And I thought, why is God invisible? Why would he keep himself so far removed? So that, did you know that people whose very being is because of God, he gave them their opportunity to live this life. He's responsible for creating a world that they could live in, and a job and a skill and whatever, and putting food on the table, and yet they can live their entire lives as if there is no God, and he won't stop them. I tell you what, that's a level of restraint that I can't even comprehend. If it was my world and I was God, and you think you're going to live and ignore me, it's not going to be raining on your house. Sun's not going to shine on your house. You're not going to have a job. But God made all of this available, and he says, "You do what you want with your one life." And he remains invisible. Why? Because if God was visible, he would be completely overwhelming. If God revealed himself to this planet right now, people would fall on their face and beg for their lives, and they would surrender. But it wouldn't be voluntary. It would be by force. And God does not want that. Isn't that amazing? You know, when America bombed Japan with the nuclear bombs, the only two that have been used and killed tens of thousands of people with two bombs, Japan, up until that moment, they were not going to surrender. They were dying. They were, the kamikazes or Japanese, they were going to die. They would never surrender. And those bombs fell and they said, we're done. Whatever you want. Unconditional surrender. That's surrender by force. God never wanted that for humanity. His whole point is, I'll be over here. If you want me, you can find me. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to intimidate you. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to strong arm you. I'm going to stay invisible because I want your love for me to be as pure as my love is for you. Isn't that powerful? So he's put us in this position where we're telling people he's real. He's just beyond the veil of this flesh. You can know him. You can have God, but he won't force himself on anyone. What a loving God of restraint. And you know, people have their whole lives. They can spend their entire life ignoring God, but they don't have to. And the Bible tells us how to find him. And this is what's so dangerous about what they're teaching our kids. He who comes to God must believe that he is. What does that mean? You're not going to just accidentally find God. You're not going to be out in the woods one day and go, oh, well, there's God. Or he's not going to appear to you and say, hey, I'm God. You better get things right. He's going to be sought. You have to believe that he is. And then Jeremiah 29:11, you have to seek for him and you'll find him when you search for him with all your heart. So when they remove this idea that there is a God from our children, it stops the search before it ever starts. I say we put God back into. Amen. Yeah. And I didn't read this Romans 1, I believe it's 1:28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What happened? When you remove God, evil comes in. Therefore, he gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And the list after that is the longest list of evil you've ever seen. It sounds like what we're looking at in our society right now. Lawlessness, godlessness, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. All of those things are happening today because they've removed God. It's time to put God back. And I'll leave you with this. The whole point of human existence is to find God. That's why we're here. And no matter what anyone accomplishes in this world, and so, since I've been studying this, I just see things through a different light. I was watching the Super Bowl and performance, and I'm looking at these people performing before the whole world, and I'm thinking, have you missed the point? Have you missed the point of your existence? You could be the most famous human to ever live, but you were put here to meet God. Have you done that? Have you taken any time to try to know God? God said in Romans 1:20 that his invisible attributes are clearly seen by the things which are made, so that they are without excuse. So if my scientist friend doesn't get his act together and use a little common sense, he's going to stand before God and God's going to say, science is not an excuse. You saw what I did. My fingerprints were on everything you looked at. You are without excuse. I don't want to be in that shape. How about you? I want to be honest with myself and say, you know what? If there is a God, I'm going to find him. And I'm not going to stop until I do. And I did that as a child, and I've never been sorry. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? I really want to get this. We're going to put it on YouTube, and at least it's my part on my platform to say, hey, take a minute and look at the facts, the real facts, and don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. You can get so busy living life and doing things and dealing with problems, or, you know, chasing a career, taking care of a family or whatever, and forget that really the real reason we're here is to meet God. And then once you do that, everything else is bonus. Because in the end, it's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about what He did. And it's about Him getting what He was after, which was you. Not your job, your retirement, your talents. He didn't care about that. He wanted you. And if in the end, He gets you and you get Him, that's success. Amen.